Hey everybody, welcome to another car show, where we do a show in the car, because that's just how it's gonna be, for no other reason than I have no other reason. I am on my way back from a nice trip I took to a first aid class. First aid, CPR, AED. First aid. Has anyone taken a first aid? Why do I even do that? Has anyone taken that first aid? Anybody? Like someone's gonna shout from the next car over, "Hey, yeah, me. I did." I guess I should just get to the premise. You know, you take this class. I feel like first aid classes basically consist of, here's everything that like a grandma on a porch told you to do for a disease. And here's everything that you did wrong, you know? So you're all fucked up. You just have to sort of keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Sorry, I got a little lost here for a second. But all the home remedies, the home ways of doing things, anything that you see on a movie, especially like a Ben Stiller movie that's used for comedy purposes. Oh, suck poison out of me. Oh, I'm Robert De Niro. You might know me from some of the greatest films of all time, you know, Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, all that shit. But now I'm in a movie with Ben Stiller and I get stung in the face by a rattlesnake, so I'm asking him to suck the poison out of my lips. So it's like we're kissing on the lips. And he doesn't want to, and then everyone goes, "Jesus, Fokker. You don't even want to suck poison out of your father-in-law's lips? What the hell's wrong with you?" You know, another problem with those movies is it's not just that he gets so much shit for doing shit. It's also nobody is reasonable and says, "Hey, I don't think he should do that." Or, you know, they gang up on him. They're like, "Come on, Fokker. Don't be so uptight." Nobody ever says, "You know what? I gotta side with him on this one. Sucking poison out of your father-in-law's lips is weird. And it may save him, it may be necessary, but I feel like there's any other person in this room would be better suited to that task. Or any just stranger would probably be better suited to that task." But, you know, so first aid class is where you learn, oh, don't suck out the poison. And then they explain it to you and it makes you feel dumb. Because you say, well, I guess that makes sense that a solution to someone having poison in their leg isn't to put it in my mouth. Where would be the worst place for poison? Probably my mouth. So I'll put it in my mouth in order to get it out of your leg, I guess. I guess that's the plan there with the poison sucking out. Again, I guess we shouldn't get our first aid knowledge from, like, cowboys. Right? They don't seem to know what they're doing. Cowboys were pretty much about, well, I've been shot, let's pour whiskey on it and into me and then see what happens. Hopefully everything's good from there, because that's pretty much where medicine ends today. I don't know what cowboys were thinking. I don't know how they even survived. That's the thing about this first aid class. I don't know how the fuck we made it this long, because at some point, I'm sure we had no first aid. Just some guy got hit over the head, and he's dizzy walking around, and everyone just says, "Oh, I don't know. I guess we'll just see what happens," and then he just falls over. And at some point, in caveman days, when someone fell over, you're like, well, I guess that's the end of that guy. He seemed cool, but he's gone. That motherfucker is gone. So I can't figure out, because I was thinking first, all right, how did we make it past, like, old-timey days when they're sucking out the poison and, you know, oh, well, smear your head with mayonnaise if you get a concussion. You'll be fine. If there's clear fluid leaking from your head, that just means the devil's coming out. Like, it seems like everything they did, you know, they say how Lincoln got shot, and he was still alive, but he got all infected and fucked up because they were just like, well, let me just poke around in here with a finger, see what I can find. This is 1800, so I just wiped my ass with this finger and stuck it in your ear. I don't see a problem with that. That's a whole thing. I like to... They always have this stuff, you know, so you don't get infected while you're giving someone CPR, let's say. They have this, like, plastic thing you can put over their face with a little breathing thing. I don't think that breathing thing does shit. And I'll tell you why. How is it that it's going to prevent the spread of these diseases, right? I'm not going to get a disease from somebody. But I could still smell whatever was inside this CPR dummy. Whatever chemical they used to wash those out. I hope that's what it was. I could smell that and taste that. Are those particles far smaller than the particles of disease? Because that doesn't really make sense to me, but okay. I'll take your word for it, I suppose. But, yeah, it was pretty interesting. You know, you watch a lot of video clips. I love these video clips, by the way, from driver's ed or from any sort of classroom setting, and it's the Red Cross has decided to get into filmmaking now for the sake of this class. Oh, we're going to make these little interstitial things. How come they can't just hire whoever made fucking 300 and say, all right, can you just make us some clips or something? Or, I don't know, get Michael Bay to do it. Fuck it. And just have Transformer, and then a Transformer hits another Transformer, and it's like, this is a laceration. I could tell I was real tired because a tear came to my eye. The first one was just about... Oh, people who had performed or had CPR performed on them. And so they felt... They told their little story. And this guy was just like... I know it doesn't work maybe most of the time. But I think everyone deserves a chance. And I'm going to try and give them that chance. And then it's like, he saved someone's life. And you're thinking, son of a bitch. But that was just because I was exhausted. Because you have to get up at 6. You have to be leaving at about 6 to get somewhere on time in Denver from where I live now. It's a 2-hour drive now. Because you have to have an hour for the drive, plus an hour to just sit in traffic, wondering where all these other idiots are going. Traffic is the worst. How come every fucking job has to start at the same time? Every job starts at 8. Every job. Right? How come we can't stagger jobs? Hey, this bank starts at 8, but this other job starts at 9. This job starts at 10. Then we wouldn't all have to be on the fucking road at the same time, trying to come and go at the same time. And don't give me some bullshit about how it's, oh, these hours have to happen. You know how I know that's not true? Every fucking Friday, rush hour starts at like 2 p.m. So you can leave early on Friday. What's going on the rest of the week? What's preventing the rest of the week from being the paradise of low traffic because we all just decided to be sane for once in our lives? Jesus Christ. And if you're a boss, you should definitely let your employees work from home if that's at all possible. My God, one day a week? They'll be so happy. You'll be happier because you won't have to deal with your shit employees all the time. You won't have to see their dumb faces. It's like in these Red Cross movies. Every single person looks like Phyllis from The Office. Every lady. Every guy is just some generic guy. Or a generic black guy. They have to throw some mixtures in here just so we don't all say, oh, this is all for whites, huh? I guess we're only saving the lives of whites. They did have CPR dummies that were black, and I selected one of the black ones just because it was closest to me. But then I was really glad I did, because you had to pick a dummy and then do some CPR and then go sit down again. And then you had to go back and do some other stuff later, so you had to go to the same dummy. Real easy to pick it out when there's two black CPR dummies amongst a dozen CPR dummies. I don't know why they can't make them, you know, purple and orange and stuff, because honestly, they don't look like people, really. They're one of the baby ones was all messed up, and the instructor lady just tore its face off to fix it, and that fixed it, but Jesus Christ, it's like the Terminator under there. It's horrible. Why would you make it like that? So you just, oh, how do you fix the baby? Oh, you just tear its face off, and then fold it back over its head like a mask. It's awful. I wish they would do that in the class. Just, here's how you tear a baby's face off. We teach you this so that you know not to do this. Hey, don't tear a baby's face off with this motion. It could potentially tear a baby's face off, so you be aware of it. But do not utilize this information, whatever you do. Also had a nice, I gotta say, it's so easy for me to snap back into classroom mode. I haven't been in school for a long time, and I haven't been in a classroom for almost 10 years. Like 8 years since I've been in a classroom. And man, I could fucking zone out on a classroom like it was yesterday. I'm zoning out at an 8th grade level, which is the highest level, by the way. You'd think you'd want it to be a 12th grade level or something? No. When we're talking about zoning out, 8th grade is the prime time. Because that's when you've kind of learned everything I think you need to get by in life. That's when you really start getting into that esoteric nonsense of math that's got imaginary numbers and something called E that I still don't think is a thing. Fucking math teachers are so greedy with that shit. You don't have enough stuff. You don't think there's enough stuff. Now you're making up numbers in addition to the ones that we've already got. Okay, sure. It would be like if English teachers said, oh, you know what? We're going to just also start teaching Spanish and making up words that mean a lot of things that are very important. And then they'll be responsible for all the different ways to use these made up fucking words. That'd be a really nice way to run a class to do that. What a nice situation we've created for ourselves in these schools. My God. But yeah, I was zoned out in class, and it was like every class is like this too. I don't know why it is. Most of us were there semi-voluntarily, right? Or for a job or something. But you know, the first thing they do is hand out this sheet, and it's like a true or false question thing. And so she'll read it out loud and then say, what do you guys think? True or false? Dead silence. Right? Nobody wants to answer. I don't know why. Well, I know why I didn't. I just didn't feel like it. Honestly. And I looked around the room, and there were some young people there. I've gotten to where now if I take some, like, a first aid class, I won't be the youngest person there. Guaranteed. May even skew on the older side. The teacher made reference to Flava Flav, and then said, probably the younger ones in the class don't get that, I guess. And then she looked at me, and I wasn't sure if she was looking at me to say, because you're older, so you get it, or because you don't get it. And I just said, yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. Flava Flav, gotcha. Huge clock. Crazy-ass dating show. But, yeah. Not a spring chicken anymore. But that's why I knew I didn't have to actually answer the questions, because I knew these kids would crack before I did. It's like I'm a Vietnam prisoner. I was a prisoner of the Vietnamese for 184 days. It's like, yeah, I think you'll probably crack before I will, sonny. Okay? I've been through school. I know how to resist their tactics of getting me involved. I just sit here and the information washes over me like a wave. It's just, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to do. They give you this huge manual, and we kind of read through that as a class. That's fun. That's, again, it's just like school where you're reading Shakespeare. Everyone's taking, oh my God, what the fuck is this shit? Huge traffic jam. This is nice traffic jam time, too, because I really could have taken a shit before I left where I was going. And I was in one of those places where you have to get a bathroom key. And when I got to the register, the men's was gone. So I assumed someone was in there. So I just said, you know what? I'll just keep going. I'll just push through. And now I'm thinking, well, maybe I won't be the one pushing through. I may be pushed through by fecal matter. It may not be up to me how this goes. Well, I'll let you know if I'm shitting live on mic here. If I just start losing my bowels, I will be sure to let everyone know. Tell you how it's coming. What I thought of the result. We've got that nice thing. You know, one of those people that everyone hates is the one who is cruising past a line of standing cars up to the front and then wants to get in really bad. Does anyone feel bad for that person? Would anyone feel bad if that person had to wait 14 years to get in? I don't think I would. You have to participate. Where are you going that's so important? That is more important than where I'm going. It's so frustrating. Life is so difficult. I wouldn't administer first aid to them if their life depended on it. Anyway, it's nice that you guys get to be with me in the traffic jam, though. Ah, here's a car waiting to get over. Would you look at that? Go fuck yourself. This is when we get to shine. Oh, this car is just going to let him? Are you crazy? No, they're not going to. Good. Not happening. Oh, the car behind me just let this asshole in. Unbelievable. Unbe-fucking-leavable. I'm just narrating the traffic now, huh? The lady who taught the first aid class was kind of interesting because she had, for every possible thing that could happen, she seemed to have a personal story, which she shared with us. Which is sort of hit and miss. I gotta say, in my old school setting, that was actually fine. Because if a teacher's telling a personal story, then, you know, you don't have to be doing class. However, if the teacher is not telling a personal story, you have to be doing class. So, I would just prefer the personal story, because then all of a sudden you're saying, oh man, we didn't get to the quadratic equation today. Well, I guess it's not happening. I guess we'll just have to do without. But in the first aid class, it's like, hey, if we don't get this done, we just leave at the end, right? It doesn't really matter. Or if we get it done early, we just leave. Every other situation results in we just leave. We don't need to kill time here. It's not a situation where we need to, well, you guys paid for an 8-hour class. We got to do an 8-hour class. It's like, hey, man, 7.5, a tight 7.5, I'm fine with that. Don't need the story of how you got sunburned surfing in Mexico when you were a teen and had two terrible days riding home on an airplane because instead of cooling the burn, you just put clothes on, pajamas, and talked to your grandma. This is the story we were told. Yeah, I don't really need the tale of when you were bitten by a brown recluse and the bite was on your upper thigh. So you wore a skirt to your zoology class to show your professor your bite and try and determine its origin. Don't really need that story. A lot of these stories we don't need. A lot of them. Man, this asshole really going by everybody. Pushing the limits. Not happening. But what can you do? What can you do? We also, so the teacher was about a half hour late, maybe 40 minutes, which was not her fault, I guess. Well, she explained it to us as the normal teacher is like 80. And she said, well, the normal teacher is like 80. So I think that's what happened. She was busy being 80. Which wasn't and was an explanation, really. Because she says that and you say, well, what does that mean? But then you're like, well, I get, what does it really take when you're 80? It doesn't really take much, right? To prevent you from doing a thing. I mean, a couple of bad hours, you're out. Forget it. I can't just be doing all kinds of shit. I'm 80 goddamn years old. I got to spare my energy. I have to decide whether I have time to go to this first aid class or complain about the weather today. That's it. And do what you love. Whether it's your last days or your first days, you got to do what you love. Wow, this car totally just let someone in. That was horrible. Why do people keep doing this? Why do they do it? Why do they do it? Does it make them feel good? Because they shouldn't. I mean, people would not allow me to just create a parallel line at a roller coaster. You know what I mean? That would not fly. No one would let you in, ever. They'd say, go fuck yourself. But in traffic, for some reason, we say, okay, let's just let everyone in. Whatever. Now there's a guy flying up the shoulder. And another guy flying up the shoulder. This is good. This is going well, I must say. You know it's bad when people start turning around in the median and flying up the shoulder and doing all that kind of shit. That's when you know you're in the longest road snake of all time. And you might just die. You might just die. I did do some... Oh, we also got donuts as a result of the late start, which was nice. We were literally looking at a picture of a clogged artery, because we were talking about heart attacks. I was looking at an artery clogged partially and fully with fat and nunly, while I was eating a donut that had pink and green frosting on it. Didn't even look good. I didn't even really want it. They said, we got donuts. I stood up and then I thought, no, I don't even want a donut. And then I changed my mind for no reason. Really, for no reason. I just because it was there. This is how people get fat, I think. Because we just say, you know what? If it's there, I'm eating it. Don't really care what it is or why or where. But I'm eating it. It's happening today. So I ate this donut looking at the artery. It was a nice little complement of images and actions for me to eat that donut while seeing the effects that it would probably have on my life. That's a weird thing when you go to a first aid class or something, because you start thinking about how your body, I don't want to get overly cosmic here, but your body is just this machine that just keeps going. And then it gets even more frightening because you think, well, your heart just has been going for like 30 years at this point. How long can this go on? This obviously can't go on forever. Frankly, it's a bit shocking it's gone on this long. And how not careful you've been in your life in general. Because it's like, well, do this to be safe. Do that to be safe. If this happens, go to the hospital. If that happens, go to the hospital. I like that too, though. Because their thing is like, just go. Go in, get checked out. Go, go, go. Call 911. Do the hospital. But honestly, how am I supposed to... I'm not going to try and get overly cosmic here, but like, think about United States, right? Oh, good. We're slowing in this. These guys are just sitting on a tractor doing nothing. A backhoe. So think about life in the United States. I have a heart attack. I go to the hospital. I pay $10,000 even with insurance because I get a hospital, a fucking, what's that van, the ambulance ride? You know, that van, the hospital courtesy shuttle. I get in there. They do some shit for me. They do some emergency shit. For some reason, things cost more if it's an emergency. They punish you because it's, oh, you should have come to a... Well, yeah, if I'd known I was going to have a fucking heart attack, do you think I would have waited till it was an emergency? No. I would have come yesterday. I would have cleared the day. I probably would have planned to come in yesterday and then take the day off today as well to recover from my fucking heart attack, you imbecile. But whatever. We just... So anyway, you get done with the hospital and you have this $10,000 bill. And now when you get out of the hospital, it's like, oh, you better eat healthy. Well, that's really easy to do when you're dying from your budget. You can't just buy the nice organic groceries and all that shit when you're dying and you have no money because you spent it all on this goddamn heart surgery that you didn't even want. Now, isn't that like people... That's what I don't get, too. People are saying, oh, they abuse this universal health care and all this shit. Really? Is that's what's happening? We're afraid people are just going to be going in for heart surgeries like it's no tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I went and got opened up. They did all kinds of shit. It was really fun. I loved it. It was a blast. I learned a lot about my innards. It was... No! No one's going to do... Believe me. Go in for one unnecessary procedure one time and see how fun that was. And see how likely you are to abuse that when you don't need it. How likely are you to go again to the hospital and say, you know what? I had such fun in that procedure. I'd like you to just slice me open and do something else. What else we got here? Extra tonsils? Gallbladder, I'm told, isn't really necessary. Pancreas or something? Sure, there's some shit we could just take out. I don't need all these fingers. God knows I've been barely using them. Let's just cut off one a year until I'm down to the number I actually need. And then we'll reattach till we get to that number. It's going to be great. Lifetime of wasted surgery. I don't know. I know it's dumb, because the other problem is you don't want to feel like an idiot. You don't want to be the idiot who... didn't go to the hospital, and then they say, if only he'd gone to the hospital, he wouldn't be dead. But on the other hand, I kind of side with that idiot, because for every idiot who didn't go to the hospital and would now be alive, there's a million idiots who did go to the hospital and were fine, and then now they just have to pay like $5,000 for nothing. Or did go to the hospital... And because nobody who works at the hospital is house, nobody gives a shit, nobody tries, they just left, and then it's like, oh, well, we didn't notice that his head was missing. That I just assumed that the picture cut off at the top. I can see why he didn't survive with no head. It's all coming together for me now. He didn't have a head. Another good piece of shit advice... Our instructor told us, so with choking, you can kind of do these Heimlich things on yourself, which has to be about the saddest thing in the world. To be alone, choking on a hot dog, and you lean over a chair and save yourself. I was just thinking that if you were me, and you were, I don't know, 51% suicidal, and you started choking on a hot dog, there might be a moment where you just think, well, I mean, this is... excruciating few moments, but honestly, I could just let this go, and that would be that. Really, at this point, it's not even suicide. I just had an accident. I was just unfortunate. And then also, just thinking like, oh, it'd be nice if someone was here to Heimlich me. Just, oh, you know, I like to have someone who's really my soulmate, or at least could save my life when I'm choking on Doritos. Either one would be an improvement at this juncture. So whatever the Lord sees fit to hook me up with here, I'll let his guiding hand guide my hand. But so the instructor of the first aid class here was saying, well, just try to avoid eating hazardous foods when you're home alone. So for example, a grape. So I guess I'm not allowed to eat grapes anymore. It was really nice to say, oh yeah, as a single person, basically, if you're going to eat grapes, take it out in public. I'll just announce to everyone at work, too. I just want you to know I can't eat grapes at home because I may choke, but if I eat them here and start choking, at least someone may help me. this is what my life has become. I want to preserve this life where I can't eat grapes because I'm so lonely. For some reason, I'd like this to go on for quite a while. However, I have to make this alteration to my behaviors and goals in life. So there you go. Oh, okay, that sounds pretty good. I think that sounds like a good way to live. I thought that was a strange piece of advice. Don't eat a huge handful of M&Ms while you're home alone, she says. Which, by the way, if I'm going to eat a huge handful of M&Ms, it's going to be when I'm home alone, believe me. How am I supposed to push down the pain of being home alone if I can't eat a huge handful of M&Ms? Furthermore, if I'm not alone, what do I need the huge handful of M&Ms for? I would like to rely on my fellow man for some comfort, if that's what I required. To not have to shove a handful of M&Ms down my own throat, risking a choke just for the sake of brief emotional release. That's where we're at right now, I guess. That's what we're doing. I would probably change that advice to just say, hey, just don't eat something that's embarrassing in case they find you dead. You know what I mean? So if you're going to eat a hot dog, let's say, make it a nice hot dog. Make it look like you got all the sides or the toppings out and everything, like a real Chicago-style dog, as opposed to, well, I just ate... You don't actually have to cook them, so I just took it out of the package and went to town. And that town is Hot Dog Town. Because you don't want it to say... If it's like, man died during hot dog feast, I guess that's not so bad. Man dies in sad bachelor lifestyle with no one to help him Heimlich his hot dog that he cut up himself into little pieces and ate off of a Spider-Man plate. That's sad. That is sad. You do not want that to be your end. That's kind of the goal. I don't know. I would think, for me anyway, is to... I hope that my dying moments I'm not thinking how... Well, this is going to be a fucking novelty on the news tomorrow. They're going to be like, look at this idiot. Look at this asshole. How he died. You're going to end up on one of those shows, 100 Retarded Ways to Die. It always starts with girls in bikinis and then somehow winds up with a guy dying. Like, well, we got to do it all. We got to have bikinis. Couldn't do a show without bikinis. And then death. This show has it all. Life in bikini and then death. Sometimes in bikini, sometimes not. But we've got the two elements. Life and death, that's for damn sure. We got that covered. So that's first aid class, I suppose. I don't know. I think this is a good thing to do. I'm not going to try and get too much on my high horse. But here's the thing. Everybody's afraid of, oh, if I do something wrong, I'll get sued. If I do something wrong and I get sued, what am I going to do? I'll hate my life. You know what? Fuck that shit. Because, first of all, assholes who do that, who sue people who tried to help in good faith effort or whatever, fuck them. They're wrong, and they're ruining the world. Secondly, I don't know. Don't you sometimes have to take a chance on something in your goddamn life? So your plan is to just sit there and watch someone die, and later on be like, I could have gotten sued. Or I could have saved somebody's life, or I don't know. I don't even know if you'll really save anyone's life, but maybe you'll at least feel like you tried, like you did something. I mean, it's going to feel very helpless. And the other thing is, think about it from this perspective. I mean, what if it was someone you cared about? Let's not say me, because obviously I wouldn't even Heimlich myself, potentially. But if it was someone, you know, I need the Heimlich in a restaurant, and I just quietly walk into the restroom stall and pass away. But, like, imagine it's someone you care about. Wouldn't you want other people around to try to have said, I did the CPR for 8 minutes until the ambulance got there. They said I did it pretty much right. We couldn't save him, but I fucking did something. Yeah, I think I would want that. I think I'd want some kind of... some kind of something going on there. Seems like a good plan. I played in a golf tournament this week. So I've played golf twice this year now, so I'm probably better at golf than I've ever been. Although I was much soberer at golf than I've ever been. Well, not much, but soberer than I've ever been at golf. And let me tell you, I am not good at golf. I am real bad at golf. Golf is hard. I mean, golf's not hard. Here's the thing that makes golf hard. Some people are serious about it. No one on my team or anything like that, God forbid. But I just mean you'll see guys out this guy, so there are these course marshals who drive around in the car, I guess to make sure you're not cheating somehow, which I don't even know how you would. If you cheat at golf, I don't know how you would get caught. Honestly, how would they ever know? You're writing down your own score. I could have written down two on every single one. Would they have known? How would they have known? But, yeah, I think that this is the problem. It's hilarious to me how serious. We're playing behind this other team, and I'm watching them, and I'm thinking, how come it takes them so long? I know why it takes us a while. It's because we're drunk, running around. I lose every ball. I must have lost 14 balls. I was losing more than one ball per hole by the end of the game, I'm sure. If you averaged it out, I was losing more balls than holes I was playing. I may have been losing more balls than I was recovering by the end. But you'll see these guys out there, and they're like leaning way down and lining up the shot, you know, thinking about, oh, which, let me take a look at the shot before I get a club out of my bag instead of do what Pete does and just get, I don't know, just say like 3-wood. I'm getting a 3-wood because I have 3 of them in my bag. By the way, you don't need all these fucking golf clubs, okay? You need like 5 at the most. You need 5. You could get by on 3. I'm pretty sure. I think I maybe played 4 clubs, and 2 of them I wouldn't even know the difference. If you handed me one or the other, I would not be able to tell you, oh, this is this kind or this is that kind. This is how you know it's bullshit, because they're labeled. If they didn't have to be labeled, then they were probably different enough that you wouldn't need them to be labeled. But they're fucking labeled. So how much difference is there between a 7 and a 9 iron? I'm sure there's a difference. I'm sure that some golf expert could look at them side by side and tell me. I'm sure Tiger Woods knows. But does the average man, if I handed him a golf club and said, identify this club by type and number, could he do it? The average golfing man, I don't think he could. I really don't. I don't know. I have like 3 clubs that are 3 woods. They look completely different. So what is even the point of this? I don't understand why we're even talking about this. Oh, well, the woods do this. And the woods aren't even wood, by the way. So I don't even... That's fucking insane. How does that work? I just find it hilarious. That's the hilarious and weird thing about golf, is that people care. I'm not one to often shit on other people's joy, because I know it's difficult to find things that we enjoy in our lives. So I wouldn't necessarily want to take that away from anyone and say, okay, well, you enjoy this, but you shouldn't. Because it's hard. It's hard to find those things. But I feel like there's not much joy in golf for these people who are so involved in it. They have a lot of stake in whether or not golf is their game. They have something to prove. They got shorts. They got a golf bag that has a little stand that comes out of it. They got 800 golf clubs with 2 covers apiece. They have to pick which golf clubs they're going to bring because they have too many to fit in their bag. It's fun. It's like anything. Anything is fun until you start taking it serious, and then it's not fun. Right? It's like Pete's lesson learned with adult rec volleyball, which is you can't play adult rec volleyball because you cannot form a team of more than five people without at least one person getting pissed off about losing every single game. It just doesn't work. You can't find that group of six people who doesn't give a fuck, yet still comes and plays. This is the other problem. I like doing things, sort of. I just don't like when they get real serious. When it turns into, hey, man, aren't you tired of losing these? And I'm like, eh, not really. I don't really care. I don't know what our record was. I'm pretty sure we lost all of our games. But I don't know. I just don't care. Because what if we were the best volleyball team? Let's just switch it around. If we were the best, then what does that get us? Nothing. Who cares? You know, you're the best golf team. What do you win? I have no idea. Of the three tournaments I've played in, not once have I paid attention to what the prizes would be. Unless it was a pill that made me stop vomiting from liquor, I wasn't interested in the prize anyway, regardless. No interest. What is it going to be, $1 million? It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It's not a good game if you're not into just spending some cash on golfing and boozing. I did also find out that golf is very long because I was, again, not as drunk as I've been in years past, so I remember the entirety of it. Golf is a long game. Like, you just go and go, and 18 holes, it took like 5 hours. Now, we weren't just going at our own pace because we had to wait for teams in front of us and do all that stuff. But it takes goddamn forever to play golf. You'll be out there all day. I shit you not. I hope you're... I thought... We started at like 2. I thought, all right, I'll probably be home at like 6, maybe 7 at the late end. Got home at like 8:30 p.m. by the time we drove home. And it was dark by the time I got home. What the fuck, man? How does that happen? Where does the time go? Right? Right, guys? Where does it all go? I think as I look at the pictures of my beautiful children who grew up under my roofs. I have to say, again, on the money thing, like, golf sucks because you're just hitting these golf balls and losing them. But they're... I don't know. They end up being like 75 cents a piece or something. So you're just hitting wadded up dollars into a lake, basically. Which I would prefer. Maybe I should just start rubber banding a dollar around my golf balls and just hitting them into a lake and thinking, well, at least now I'm being an ostentatious asshole about it. I'm just really going for it. I don't mind being an ostentatious dick. I just prefer to enjoy it and go for it. If that's what we're going to do, let's really do it. I'm not a half-asser when I have my druthers. And I'd druther really go for it and lose money. I just want to throw money away. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I recommend... here's what I would recommend. Terms of golf. This is a big helpful snowman recommendation. If you can put together a team of like 4 people and enter this tournament with like one person who really knows how to golf and make sure that no one gives a fuck about winning. And I don't even mean, oh, as long as I golf good, I'm happy. I mean, don't give a fuck. Like the last 3 holes, you maybe just say, I don't know, let's just write down 10. And move on. Right? Do you have a mercy rule when you hit like 7 or 8? We will be availing of ourselves of that most of the game. That's the caliber of player that I recommend playing with. Honestly. It's got to go beyond. Because here's the thing too. Here's the other part I don't like. Just like with volleyball. You'll have people who going into it say, oh, yeah, I'm very relaxed. I don't I don't really care. I don't consider myself to be a golfsman, a golfsmith, a Callaway, a ping. By the way, my golf hat was a plain hat that I wrote ping on and was enjoyed by one guy. One guy said, I like your hat. And I said, hey, thanks. Oh, I also got severely sunburned. My arms hurt very badly. So that's nice. I've got sunburn on my arms. I have the worst blisters on my feet today. The most painful blisters I can remember having in forever. From running, not from golf, but they're horrible. I don't know what happened to me, but here they are, rocking me like a fucking hurricane. Big time. Big time. So that's, yeah, and then I went to first aid covered in sunburn and blister. There was a part where we had to bandage each other's arms. So my partner bandaged mine. And then she was coming by to check and see if your arms were discolored from the bandage being too tight. So I had to say, oh, yeah, this might be discolored, but I don't think it's this guy's fault because I'm very sunburned. And she's like, ooh, you are sunburned. And I said, thanks. Thanks a lot. God forbid we treat me in this class. I could have used my knowledge. The problem is they don't teach you the first aid of how to not have these things happen to you while you're drinking. It's a big problem for me with the sun. I think that I have a problem. I get sunburned pretty easily and pretty consistently. I don't think other people understand how miserable it is for, you know, I go rafting every year, right? And it's fun, but I know that I'm going to get at least mildly sunburned. There is no way to avoid it. No way. It's just not possible. If I'm going to be in the sun for more than 2 hours, I will be sunburned. It doesn't matter how much sunblock goes on. It doesn't matter if I tan before. It just, this is how my life is. This is what I've come to live with. But it's a little annoying because people, oh my God, you should be more careful. Why didn't you put on more sunblock? And you just say, I did do it. I know how to put it on. Believe me. Believe me, I know how to put sunblock on my body. I've done it. I've been there. It's happened. I don't need someone to tell me, oh, have you heard of sunblock? They've got this Hawaiian Tropic stuff. Is that sunblock? I don't even know. Sunsport? Sunblock? No ad? All kinds of shit. They got this great shit you put on, then you don't get burnt. Oh, really? Oh! My God, if only someone had told me about this miracle drug. No. I just get burned. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I get burned and that bothers you. I don't mean to ruin your day with my burns. Believe me. Believe me, I know by now that it sucks to be sunburned, and I will try to avoid it. But it's just not going to happen. It's just not. This is another great reason I hate the summer. Number of times I've been sunburned in the winter, dead zero. Absolutely zero. Number of times I've been sunburned in the summer, number of summers that I've had multiplied by 3. So we're talking about 90 times that I've been sunburned, at least. Let's just make it an even 110 while we're in the ballpark. Fuck the summer, fuck the sun, fuck sunburns, fuck everything. Okay? Yeah.